independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
The story that came out tonight, as reported, is false. The president and the foreign minister reviewed a range of common threats to our two countries, including threats to civil aviation. At no time were intelligence sources or methods discussed. And the president did not disclose any military operations that were not already publicly known. Two other senior officials who were present, including the Secretary of State, remember the meeting the same way and have said so. Their on-the-record accounts should outweigh those of anonymous sources. And I was in the room. It didn't happen.
That was McMaster's right there, talking about what the Washington Post and other places are reporting, that at some point in time, Trump shared classified info with the Russians. And, that's McMaster's. He says, look, I am in the room. I don't know where this crap's coming from. I don't get this. Where are you getting this stuff? How is this stuff coming out? Because that didn't happen. They talked about all kinds of stuff. ISIS and the potential of bombs because of laptops on airplanes. They talked about some of the stuff that they're dealing with together and fighting terrorism. But at no point in time was there a code word uttered that seemingly was something that shouldn't have been uttered, like poinsettia. This is what I talk about. Look, I am not a shill for the White House. I think we already know that. Again, I love the interestingness of Trump, but I'm not always sure I want that as my president. I love the fact that I think he does love this country, and I think he wants to do right by this country. But I don't like his messaging at times, and I don't like the way the White House has handled several big situations. But they have not given him a pass on the media, and they're never called out unless he calls them out over the times that I have seen where there's been a bunch of crap that comes out that doesn't actually line up with reality. You know, they're always on Trump. Well, what Trump says is it's a lie. It's a lie, right? It's a lie. It's a lie. Everything's a lie. A lie. It's a lie here, a lie there. But at the same time, right? At the same time, when they find out that there's crap, they print it, and then they find out it's BS. Who calls them on it? Just curious. Who calls them on their crap? Just throwing it out there, people. Again, I am no shill for the White House. Yeah, you go listen to Hannity. He'll give it to you all day, right? He's up in he's paying rent at the White House. That he is part of the team. That ain't me. But I will call BS when I hear and see it. And I feel like there's a portion of this that is a bit of BS, right? Over the weekend, the talking heads are out there yammering their traps, blah, 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 doing what they do. You got somebody like, James Clapper.
Our institutions are under assault, both externally, and that's the big news here, is the Russian interference in our election system. And I think as well, our institutions are under assault internally.
Internally. So what you're trying to tell me is internally that he is destroying the institution of the presidency, that single-handedly one man is bringing down our presidency, and eventually the collapsing of the United States of America, that single-handedly he's doing that, and that there's no stopping him. This is it. There's no stopping him. He's an emperor. He's a dictator. He is all of the things that Kim Jong-un is. Is that what you're trying to tell me? That he's bringing it all down and he's reshaping it? No. God. That's a little hyperbole, right? It's a little crazy. That's a stretch. You're reaching there. You're reaching there. You are. You're absolutely reaching and grabbing. And everybody in the world is getting into it. Everybody in the world is grabbing a hold. And here is Greg Popovich. He's the coach of the San Antonio Spurs. He is, he's won 5 championships. But here is what he had to say. And this is what I mean by everybody in their mother has some sort of negative comment to throw out there about the president.
To this day, I feel like there's a cloud, a pall over the whole country, in a paranoid surreal sort of way. It's got nothing to do with the Democrats losing the election. It's got to do with the way one individual conducts himself. And that's, it's embarrassing. It's dangerous to our institutions and what we all stand for and what we expect the country to be. But for this individual, he's in a game show. And everything that happens begins and ends with him, not our people or our country. Every time he talks about those things, that's just a ruse. That's just disingenuous, cynical, and fake.
Cynical? You're the biggest cynical SOB on planet Earth. You treat the people that interview like they're the help, and you absolutely degrade them at any point in time. If somebody from the godforsaken nowhere, Idaho, independent news asks you a question you don't think is right, you tear him a new a-hole and you laugh about it the entire time. You treat people like crap and you're the biggest cynic. And by the way, other people may think you're an amazing basketball coach. I think Tim Duncan won you 5 championships. Okay? I think Tim Duncan won you 5 championships. You don't have Tim Duncan, then you win 5 championships, we can talk. But, oh, the world's coming to an end. Oh, my God. I just love this crap, this insane world where people are freaking out over this crap, and there's no reason to. The fact is, he's our president. I want him to do well. And if you don't want him to do well, shame on you. Shame on you. I will tell you all the bad about him. I don't like the way he handled the Comey firing. I think sometimes his messaging coming out of the White House is absolutely childish, and I think he's being childish on numerous occasions. But I also think that there is never a break given when it comes to him. There is never anything given. If he does something great, he was lucky and or other people had a hand in it. And if something goes wrong, it's all his fault, even if he never laid a finger on it. He never gets any break whatsoever. To think that this nation is going to collapse because he's the president of the United States, you are a clown if you think that. James Clapper. Clap off the clapper. That's the way I feel about that guy. Go away. And you know what? Yes, I will say this, old Popovich there. I'm going to say this to a lot of people out there. The Democrats are still searching for the reason they lost, not realizing. Take away. Let's talk about that for just 2 seconds. I hate going back in time in the Wayback Machine to look at something. For all of the Russia crap, for all of the hacked into the DNC and the things that they did, for all of that stuff, can we just say this? If you never would have had your private email server, if you never would have done all of the things that you did to do whatever it was as far as your control was concerned, to control the flow of information, if you never would have been as secretive and if you'd have been more transparent, you never would have been in the situation where people could have questioned you about any of this stuff. You did this to yourself. You did. You did it to yourself. If you'd have been transparent, if you'd have followed the rules that you were supposed to follow, if you'd have done all of those things, you probably would be president. But you didn't. And then to top it off, you got the worst game plan possible. You hyper-focused on areas that you thought were definitely in need. Oh, we need to every check mark, every single identity politics is possible, but you left out the voter that has put you in there more often than not. That middle-aged, white, working-class voter, you poo-pooed on him. And you took him for granted. And you thought, we got this nailed down. And by the time you realized Wisconsin and Michigan and all of these places, people had given up because all you seemed to care about was climate change, where somebody could go to the bathroom, if people that are here illegally could stay here, who could marry who, when the person that's struggling, all they really wanted to figure out is, are you going to be more like this guy who's really hurt our industry and throw in more regulations, or are you going to try to figure out a way to loosen those regulations and help try to bring jobs back to this country? Nope. You didn't want to do that. You had a bad game plan, and you broke the rules at first, and that came back to bite you in the ass. There, I solved your problem. Now you guys don't have to wonder anymore. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, C-H-A-D-B-E-N-S-O-N, chat at ChadBensonShow.com. You can text the program, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. Oh, I drive a car. Betsy. You listen to the show, Betsy the Blue Ranger. We go everywhere together. Long in the tooth, but she gets me to and fro, and that's all that matters. I don't worry about what may potentially happen to old Bets there, because you see, her engine runs okay, but should something happen to her, what do I have to worry about? I got extended coverage from CarShield. That's right. I went to CarShield.com. I got extended coverage. What that means is my car breaks down, I got 24/7 roadside assistance, but that's just the beginning. I can pick the mechanic that my car goes to. So Betsy goes to the place that I choose. They pay that mechanic directly. Boom. I don't have to wait at the mailbox for the check. And oh, by the way, in between picking her up after she goes in, I have a rental car. So I don't have to worry about bumming rides or missing work or any of that stuff. We all know how expensive it can be to fix cars. That manufacturer warranty eventually goes away, and you're looking up and you're saying, you know what? It would be nice to go a while without having a payment, but I don't want to worry about the what-ifs with my car. New engine, $5,000. Transmission, a couple $1,000s. Just fixing some sort of little sensor can cost $1,000 nowadays. Do the smart thing. Get extended coverage like I did from CarShield. Save yourself thousands of potential car repairs. Get covered by the ultimate in extended vehicle service protection before too late. Call 800-CAR-6100, mention code Benson, or visit carshield.com and use code Benson to save 10%. That's carshield.com, code Benson. A deductible may apply. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, C-H-A-D-B-E-N-S-O-N, chat at chadbensonshow.com. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Fresh, farm to table. This is the Chad Benson Show.
The founding fathers created a system of three co-equal branches of government and a built-in system of checks and balances. And I feel as though that's under assault and is eroding.
So wait a minute. The founding fathers put something into place some 200 plus years ago. And now 125, 130 days into Trump's presidency, he has managed to tear it down and destroy it, says James Clapper. Wow. Wow. Well, hey, you know what? If that's the truth, let's see what this guy can do. If he's that magical, let's see what he can do. Let's see if he puts the world on blast. I'm just curious. Bunch of crap. People reporting as if it's news. Washington Post has sources. Well, then they find out they don't have any sources, that there was some sort of code word in the conversation between Trump and Lavrov, the big secretaries that the Russians have, that somehow that they were speaking and like poinsettia was used as a wink and a nudge, and that was some sort of code word that should never have come out. H.R. Masters is like, whoa, that's not real. That's a bunch of crap. I was there. McMaster's is like, you guys get this, right? I'm there. You're lying. Nobody's there. You don't even have sources. Well, we don't have sources. That's what we heard. Jiminy Cricket, 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423, chat at Chad Benson Show. Mike, Indy, what's happening?
Hey, Chad, thanks for taking my call. I agree with everything that you're saying. You're right on target. And I'd just like to add, in my own personal opinion, I believe that the Democrats really need to take a long look in the mirror when they get up out of the bed in the morning, and that includes the media. Because in my opinion, if the Democrats' ideals and Obama's ideals was as great as they'd like to make the people think, and as great as the media, you know how they made Obama was up on a pedestal. He did no wrong in them. Well, if all of that was true and they really had the American people in their hearts, our best interests, Donald Trump wouldn't be president. Hillary Clinton would be, and they'd carry on that greatness. And like I've told you before, in my opinion, Donald Trump could have God himself sitting in that Oval Office telling him the do's and the don'ts, and the media and the Democrat Party would still criticize Donald Trump. They hate the man. They despise him. And that's despicable, in my opinion. You know, we're supposed to love each other and help each other. Hell, we don't need to worry about going to a war with another country. We're at war with each other. Look at our governments. They can't even get along with us.
You're absolutely, Mike, you know, you hit that out of the park right there. We don't need to go at war with anybody else because we're at war with each other. And that right there, like, that was perfectly said. And, you know, again, I am not a shill for the Republicans and for Trump. I'm not. I'm not going to sit here and praise everything he does and say that he does no wrong because that's a bunch of crap. But where I will stand up and I will continue to do so is when I see the fact that he is completely unfairly treated by the media and that no matter what he does, it's bad. Period. Case closed. Everything he does is bad. That he's a bad human being, that he's a horrible politician, that he's the worst president of all time, that he's stupid, that he's ignorant, that every time he goes into a meeting in some way, shape, or form, he screws it up like he's King Ralph from that movie with John Goodman in the 90s. That's not who he is. Has he made mistakes? Absolutely. Has he? There been some faux pas? Yes. Are there certain issues that need to be handled in a much better way? And do they need to get on the same page? And is the messaging coming out of the White House never really succinct with one another? Yes, but it doesn't mean that everything he does is bad. And I continue to sit here and I'm amazed that now all of these quote unquote legitimate media organizations will jump on something because it's all about tearing a man down. He's your president. Should you shill for him? No. But should you try to destroy him? Absolutely not. And that's what we're getting more and more of. It's a want. It's a desire. It's a need by these people to see this man destroyed as if they're doing some righteous God's work by taking him down, like they're doing something for all of the people in America because we're all too stupid to understand that this guy's bad for us. Well, I have news for you. 60-plus million people voted for him. So you're telling 60-plus million people you're ignorant and you're stupid and we know what's best for you? Screw you and your attitude. That's what I have. Screw you and your belief system if that's what you really think. I'm sorry, but I'm over it when it comes to this stuff. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423. Chat at chadbensonshow.com. You can text the program, 323-538-2423. I went to a sporting event with kids this weekend, and I was really disturbed. And Michelle Obama's back, and she's upset about the new lunch plan. Chad Benson Show.
Chad Benson Show.
Independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Friday night, I went and watched my friend's youngster play this game called flag football, a little Friday Night Lights, right? Went out there and watched it. And I was very fortunate in my life. I played at a very high level of sports most people will never achieve. Very blessed. I worked very hard. I took a different kind of path in my life, especially to most of my friends who went on to play college and then had an opportunity to go play Major League Soccer. Wasn't even around when I was young enough to play competitively and really cared to. So I took a shot. I went to Europe. I languished in the lower leagues, had some fun, but I was very blessed and had the greatest education in the world because I got to see how the world works. I played at a pretty high level, but I also came up through the 70s when soccer really wasn't the sport it is today. But I did coach in today's world and I gave up coaching because coaching to me was no fun. I tell everybody, the best time I've ever coached in my life is when I coached my little brother's special needs team. I have more fun doing that with kids who love being out there and the parents enjoy it. It's great. When I coached high-level club, I hated it. I didn't like the parents. I didn't like the attitude the kids have because of the parents, by and large, most of the time. Most of the time. Now, when I coached at a level of club that was decent, I coached under 16 girls team. The girls were pretty average to horrible, and they knew that. They were late at coming into club, and they tried it. And they were fine because the parents didn't expect a lot because they knew mostly AYSO soccer players. But it was when I coached when it was really serious, I just couldn't handle it anymore, and I quit. I gave it up. I'm like, I can't do this. It's no fun, right? It's no fun. Should be fun. Kids should be learning. They should be learning about competition, but it should be fun. So lo and behold, Friday night, my friend says, hey, will you come watch, you know, my son Gunner, would you come watch him play? And I love guns. So yeah, you know, Uncle Chad's going to come out there. So I go out there and I watch him. The event itself was, you know, it's like, you know, 6-on-6 or whatever, flag football. And Jack has signed up for it, by the way. He'll be starting in August. It was uncomfortable. The parents were horrible. The coaches made it completely uncomfortable. The kids feed off the parents, which make them, most of them, completely obnoxious. It was the most, I told her, don't invite me to these things anymore. It's uncomfortable to watch. I was waiting for somebody to get shot or there to be a fight. And it wasn't just that game. I noticed all of the other games going on, and there was like multiple games of 10 going on. It was the same thing. Screaming parents. Parents going crazy. Parents coming onto the field, even though they're not supposed to. Parents yelling. And these poor, you know, guys that are reffing this game, probably getting $10 a game to ref, how uncomfortable it is for them. Because, you know, you got a 19-year-old kid telling a parent to sit down. Well, this is, you know, this guy's mad because he didn't think his coach is doing the right thing and you made a bad call and that this, the other team's cheating. It is ridiculous, right? And if you think it's only at the park, you're wrong. Currently, there is a guy by the name of Lorenzo Ball who will be the number one or two pick in this year's NBA draft. His dad, LeVar Ball, is insane. He is the kind of guy that has challenged Michael Jordan saying that I could beat Michael Jordan in his day. This is a guy who throws it out there. And he reminds me of, I watched this episode of, because I love myself, my old Westerns, this episode of Rifleman a few weeks ago. And this father has a kid who's great at gunfighting, and he goes around and he challenges basically everybody to fight his son. And that's kind of what Lorenzo Ball's dad is like, LeVar Ball. This is what he said about Nike. And this is the kid who's, they've got the big baller brand that they're charging almost $500 for a pair of shoes. This is what he said about Nike.
Lonzo ain't going to these shoe companies saying, hey, knock, knock, it's me. Can I endorse your shoe? Can I wear your shoe? No, they coming to us. Because they got to find that next best thing every time. If Lonzo is not good and successful, ain't nobody buying no shit. We're not even caring about Nike and Adidas and Under Armour. You know what? We're not even competing with them. Because we better than them. We're a step above them. We're what you call a premium activewear.
And that's what I see out there with these parents, right? These parents are so delusional about their children and the gifts that their children have. You should learn competition. You should learn how to deal with on-the-field situations. You should be able to enjoy watching your child play. Don't live your life through your child. Can I say that? I was blessed. I didn't choose baseball. That was my dad's sport. He played baseball professionally. I did not. I played 1 or 2 years. Didn't really like it. It was slow. I played soccer. My dad coached me. He didn't know anything about the sport. It was the early 70s. He was reading out a book. Right? So he would come to the games, you know, even when I played club, and he would cheer, but he didn't really know what was going on. Right? I was sitting there last week going, this is what they told me, that the week before, one of the grandmothers of one of the kids came to watch their team play. Now, she's got a disease where she's in a wheelchair. And she's got paralysis, and she can only look one direction. So picture this. A woman who's in a wheelchair, complete with the little blow thing to move her around, and she, you know, she can, like Stephen Hawking, she can only look in one direction. So they set her up on the other team's side of the field so she could see the field. The other team complained to the referee and made her go somewhere else so she couldn't see the game, basically, from her vantage point. Is that insane? What the hell is wrong with people? I'm just curious. Stop living your life through your children. Jack doesn't play soccer. I don't care if he ever touches a soccer ball. He likes basketball. He wants to play football. But I'll be damned if I'm going to go out there and do what these people do. I'm going to sit there. I'm going to have a laugh. I don't want you to put that much pressure on my kid. I want him to be able to enjoy it. I wanted them to have fun, and I want them to work it out amongst the field. And if you find people who are extremely gifted or who are good enough to play pro sports, you watch how they treat their kids a lot of times. They like to sit back and just let their kids be kids. Now, if they get serious about it, that's one thing. But I could never do that to my son, ever. Nor would I want to. It takes away from the enjoyment watching this. It really does. It takes away from the enjoyment of watching your child when you're trying to live your life through your child, like Mr. Ball is right there with his sons. He was an athlete himself. He played a little bit in the NFL, but not much. And he's trying to live his life through his three sons. There's two other sons behind Lorenzo who may very well be better than him. And now he is trying to live his life and get as much fame off. I could never do that to my kid. But I see these parents out there. These are 8, 9, and 10-year-olds. What in God's name is wrong with you people? What is? I'm just curious. I don't know. I really don't know. But it was just uncomfortable to watch. It was. And I'm sure you guys have had the same thing. I'm sure if your kids are playing. And I was telling Anthony, my little brother is going to be 18. He just finished playing his last AAA midget hockey for the Ducks. AAA is high as you can go in the youth ranks. And they just lost in Nationals. But he's going off to play major juniors, which is a step to the NHL draft or to a Division I scholarship. He's gotten several offers to play. He's going to go do that. My mother and them, they all show up at hockey. They watch. All the other parents sit around and chat. Maybe it's because it's California, so maybe it's not like being back east where hockey is in everybody's blood, but they don't seem to have the same insanity, right? They don't. They don't scream. They don't yell. The coaches are very succinct about what you can and can't do. But it's amazing that football and baseball and basketball are so insane with the way our parents act towards kids. I just won't do it. And I told Jack's mom, I'm not doing that. If they get crazy and it gets uncomfortable out there and it gets uncomfortable for him and it puts that much pressure on him, I don't want that. He should be learning and having fun. Now, if he gets to the point where he plays big time, you know, high school football and he moves on and the opportunities are there, you know what? It can get more serious as they get older. But I think if your kid is a single digit in age, parents shouldn't be going to blows in a parking lot. That's just me. Maybe I'm a bad person. Maybe, oh, Chad, you got to understand something, but I can't take child sports that serious. 844-TIG-CHAD, 844-344-2423. Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. You can text the program always, 323-538-2423. I want to know, have you had that before? Have you been a part of that? Have you been in a situation where you've looked up and you're, next thing you know, you're screaming and yelling at a Little League baseball game and you're thinking to yourself, what is going on? Or people are putting so much pressure on children. And I know the cost. I mean, my mother spent $50,000 a year for my brother to play hockey. That's what it cost. 48 grand this year for him to travel and to do all the things that he did. That's a lot of money. But you know what? She wanted him to, you know, there's a competitiveness there. Absolutely. And there's a pressure there. But he grew into that. It wasn't like that when he was a kid. When he was a kid, he played, his first several coaches were Russian hockey coaches, and they all taught fun, and they treated the kid, they worked him hard, harder than all the other kids I noticed, but it was about learning everything. It wasn't about the wins and the losses. That came later on as they started to grasp the game and understand. Even when my dad coached Little League, the first 3 weeks we played Little League baseball, it was catch. That's what we did. We played catch for an hour or two. We'd hit into a net because it was about learning just the basics. It was about being taught. It wasn't about living their lives through us. And I can't do it. As a parent, I just couldn't do it. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423, chat at chadbensonshow.com. You could text the program, 323-538-2423. Michelle Obama is upset about lunches. And we'll wrap it up straight ahead. Chad Benson Show.
Hey, you want to talk with Jack's dad? Ring us now. 844-DIG-CHAD. That's 844-344-2423.
Telling you, people are texting in saying, man, you're spot on about kids' sports and the craziness of the way parents act. Stop living your life through kids' sports. You know, when I, in Europe, one of the great places that kids go to play soccer and that we send a lot of our kids, coaches over to, is a place called Ajax in Amsterdam. Ajax is one of the great teams of all time in Europe. And they preach a thing called total football, where you come into their, you get chosen by them. They see something in you and you move into their, to their ranks at age 6 years old. And in doing so, you learn how to play the game. And everything is taught. The same thing they're teaching at the in the pro level, they teach all the way down to 6 years old. And every year as the kids move up, they're getting taught the thing, same thing over and over. So the new coach doesn't have to reteach them something. But it's never about wins or losses until they get older. It's about having fun and learning the game. There's a competitiveness. And you play every position. Because that's why they call it total football. The whole thing the Dutch created was this way that it doesn't matter who you are on the field. If I have to ask you to go play right back, you can do it. And if I have to ask you to play forward, you can do it. And it's about learning. And when I was younger, we'd play them and we'd beat them. We'd beat them and we think, well, you know, we'd be excited. But to them, it was all about learning. Each and everything was a step to something else. And then when you get older and they're 14 and 15 and winning is now something they care about, then they thump you by 10. And you never touch the ball, it's a different world. I'm all about being competitive. I got no problems with that. But you know what? Let the kids be competitive. Let them learn and don't do it through them. Sorry your life sucks and you wanted to be a great NFL player, but you've fallen on that and it didn't happen and you never played college football. But stop living your life through your child. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423. Nick and Indy, what's going on, man?
Hey, just hanging out and living life.
What's happening?
I'm doing good. How are you, Chad?
I'm doing great, brother. So what's up with kids' sports?
Well, I wanted to talk about my oldest son, who was a national caliber wrestler in high school and college. And I myself have 30 years of experience in varsity sports in high school and wrestling and golf. But really wanted to talk about was him in Little League Baseball. I remember one season, he and his best friend, they were both wrestlers, to play in this Little League Baseball championship. They lost by a couple runs to the other team. And everybody on the team except these two boys were climbing the fence yelling at the official. And I truly believe that these two boys sat on the bench and looked at these kids like they were crazy because they played an individual sport that held them accountable and responsible for their own actions and nobody else's. It's too easy to hide in a team sport. I played football. I played basketball. And I know there were times I didn't give 100%, but my team still did okay because there were other guys picking up the slack. If you're a wrestler, a golfer, cross country, track and field, swimming, you can't blame it on anybody but yourself. So I think that every young kid should learn to play an individual sport and learn that accountability.
Absolutely. It should be accountable. And you know what? Again, here's the other thing, too, and I think this is something we miss. I appreciate your call, man, is too often now kids are going to – they're younger and younger, and they're playing a singular sport. By the time they're 6, 8, 10, they're no longer playing three or four sports at once. They're only playing one sport. They're hyper-focusing it. Mom and dad are getting private lessons. They're paying a ton of money. And I get it. I get it to a certain extent. But I like the fact that I played multiple sports as a child, but then I zoned in on soccer because it became my favorite sport. By the time I was 11, that was all I was playing. But in high school, I mean, in junior high, I played basketball and I played football. I wasn't very good at it. I mean, football, I was fine. I was a kicker. I was really good at it. But and I was a great athlete as a kid. But I wanted to be able to do those things. Nowadays, it's not like that. Nowadays, man, it is one sport, and you've hyper-focused, and these kids have become just – they're becoming little machines. And the cost, the parents, the private lessons, and the whole nine yards. You know, one of the things my mom did to my little brother was, if you want private lessons, you have to figure out a way to pay for it. So we'll get you to and fro, but you've got to figure out a way to pay for it. So the guy that gives him private lessons, his name is Sandy. Sandy coaches pretty much 50% of the NHL. Are his private, you know, students, guys who are winning Stanley Cups and are currently playing as we speak right now on the ice. And so what he does is he goes and he says, look, Sandy, I'll work for you. And I'm going to, you know, so he helps Sandy with all of the youth kids that are like 6, 7, and 8 or just learning how to skate. And that's how he got his private lessons. But there's always accountability with that from my mom. And I think that's great. But he's right, man. To me, I heard two things. I heard he plays an individual sport, but he played another sport. And we don't do that anymore. Nowadays, we find a sport a kid's good at, and we say, you're going to be great at this, and you're stuck in here, and we're going to spend all this money on it. And I see a lot of kids, by the time they're 12 or 13, they're great at the sport. You know what they are? They're burnt out. I won't do it anymore. Stop living your life through your kids. I know you like sports, and I know you wanted to be a center fielder for the Yankees, but maybe your kid wants to play video games and doesn't want to go on a road trip and play 15 baseball games this weekend. Maybe, just maybe, he wants to see movies with his friends. 844-DICK-CHAT, 844-344-2423. It's the number to call. You can text the program always, 323-538-2423. Go to the website. We got everything there. You miss Diamond and Silk? Boom, they're there. You got to get all of the news of the day. It's all right there. Go to ChadBensonShow.com. You can always tweet at us, at Chad Benson Show, and, of course, email the program, Chad@ChadBensonShow.com. Another solid Monday down. Tomorrow, Tostada Tuesday, we got a big day for you. For my man Phil, for my man Anthony, my name is Chad Benson. I bid you all adieu as ever. Night-night, Jack.
This is the Chad Benson Show.